Kevin McCullough says she is the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite for 4 years running. The amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Epstein was also reportedly a regular at the Mar-a-Lago Club for years. The president needs to answer for this, particularly since President Trump appointed Mr. Acosta to such a powerful position.
All right, it's all about getting Acosta, and it's all about making Trump look bad. But what Schumer didn't say was Trump kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago, whereas Billy Boy, how you doing? He just kept getting on the plane, going back to the island over and over again. I hate this story. I don't want to talk about this story. It's disgusting. Anyway, Carol Markowitz is here. Carol, thank you for being here. You have a very interesting column in the Post this week, and I am in full agreement with you. As your Monday column is titled "2020 Dems Must Change Course Before They Fall Off the Left Wing Cliff," I couldn't agree more. I think that it's the crazy fake crazy party this go around. But here you have Schumer giving us a perfect example of why. He's not criticizing Epstein. He's criticizing Acosta and Trump, but not Clinton and not Epstein.
Right. It's using a alleged child molester to beat up the president is sort of a new low. But, you know, I also hate this story. I'm with you. It's disgusting. I wish this wasn't the case, that we didn't have to talk about any of this. But I want every person involved with him to go down. I really do. I don't care what party they're on. I think you probably are in agreement with me on that.
Yep.
I don't think anybody should be protecting anybody involved with him. And so I think let the chips fall where they may. I think that Republicans are not going to have a hard time getting rid of anybody that is actually involved with him.
You know what's funny, Carol, about that? Is that Republicans always get rid of the people that do this kind of stuff. We are the party that says we stand for things. You can't be here. You have to, like, we shun ours that do this kind of stuff. The other side, everybody does it. That's their explanation. So I want to see if whatever's in those papers that they unsealed, whatever's in the safe that they unlocked, which were evidently filled with more pictures. And if that means Acosta did do something maleficent in the court adjudication of this whole thing, then so be it, and have him step down. I just find it amazing that the person that Schumer's really outraged at is all the peripheral people. What about the stinking guy in the middle of it all?
Right. What about the child molester?
The actual guy. Okay. So that aside, Ross Perot died today.
Oh, no, I hadn't heard him.
I know you spent a lot of time at the beach club and stuff, but I'm just curious because when he ran against H.W., it was widely considered the end of, you know, the Reagan administration. They were looking at the Bush as an extension of Reagan years. And had he not run, Billy Boy, he'd never been there. So what do you make of, the angry little billionaire that started the Reform Party and kind of, you know, injected a new kind of breed of politics?
You know, I call this my most embarrassing vote, but my first ever presidential vote was for Ross Perot. But here's the thing, not in 92, in 96.
And that was really bad.
I was young and foolish and didn't know what I was doing and just sort of liked his quirky charts. I always enjoyed the charts. So I've done some growing since then. But, you know, he brought a fact-based sort of thing to the campaign that I really enjoyed, even though ultimately I disagreed with him on policy in a widespread way. But I really liked that he was bringing the numbers, and it wasn't just about feeling. I think he definitely set the tone of that for me.
Well, you know, if you look at the kind of commentary that, Tucker Carlson does on Fox News and Pat Buchanan did kind of before him, Ross Perot was kind of that vein of that kind of, I'm not going to be beholden to the Republicans. I'm going to be more conservative on some fiscal stuff. I may be a little more liberal on some social stuff, but I'm actually going to try to get to the facts. And, I think H.W. was mired in the, read my lips. They did. He said no new taxes, and then he had taxes. And so they're like, hey, you're done. You're voted out. So I think similar to the Obama kind of angst when when Bush was done and everybody was tired of the war and they were just looking for something new, I think Ross Perot at least gave enough people a different look that didn't have that didn't require a full blown Democratic vote. Of course, that's what it ended up turning into. But, you know, and that brought about 8 years of Bill Clinton. So thank you, Ross Perot.
Hey, I was only responsible from 96 to 2000.
That's right. Your vote really didn't count at all
really,
by that point.
Really
so, I mean, your Cruz vote may have been as equally effective in Brooklyn as your Perot vote was in that presidential race.
That's been the history of my voting in New York.
That's it. But, you know, you vote for purity, Carol, and I love you for it.
Let's talk
about 2020. Where are we at with, you know, you've already got Swalwell dropping out, and it looks like Hickenlooper. I really can't, we cannot beat the names that this field has. I mean, it's just, you know, I actually said that at an establishment yesterday, and a bunch of guys that were having happy hour thought I was pulling their leg. They're like, there's no Democratic presidential candidate named Hickenlooper. I said, yeah, there is. He was the governor of Colorado. One of the guys goes, I'm from Colorado. I never heard of the guy.
That's not a good sign for Hickenlooper.
That's very bad.
I mean, I just learned how to pronounce Buttigieg, so, you know.
Yeah, that took me a couple of weeks, too.
At least a few more weeks, right.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they have this really odd field. I think everybody thinks they can win. I'm not sure I see a winner among the field, but who knows? And, you know, like I say in my column, I think they're really following each other off of this left-wing cliff. And I don't know what makes them think that this is what Americans want, because Americans have never voted for this kind of thing, and even Bernie Sanders couldn't beat Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary as close as he did come. Leftism didn't even win in the primary against a candidate like Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So it's surprising that they are motivated to move the party to the left in such a way when that has not been a proven you know, winner in any way except getting AOC followers on Twitter, which I'm pretty sure doesn't apply to the Electoral College.
Well, and think about this, and this just kind of sums it up, but it appears that even after they pick their nominee, the most serious Democrat in the country will still be Nancy Pelosi. So if that is the best,
Kevin.
No, but if that's the best they can do and she's not even running, I mean, they are really, their party is going through a complete schism right now, and who knows what's going to emerge on the other side, but I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Great piece in the Post. Check it out.
Thank you.
And then if you give her feedback, don't give her too hard of a time for casting her vote for that Ross Perot guy. H. Ross Perot.
Not even sure that's my most embarrassing vote. We'll get into that some other time.
Okay. Carol Markowitz, thanks for being here. Kevin McCullough Radio.